You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I'm happy to be with you each week as we talk about important issues that so many churches must face each and every day. Great to be with you again as we start a brand new series. And as we start this series, now would be a great time to share with others what you found on this podcast. It's a great time to let them know the kinds of great help that you've been getting. Share the link. Share a testimonial. Go and check out our webpage. Very soon, we're going to start having some testimonial videos up so that you can hear what Purposed Heart Ministries is able to do for other churches. You'll see those both on our webpage and on our Facebook page. So purposedheartministries.com or the Purposed Heart Ministries Facebook page, but steer somebody our way. And continue. I just finished building the content calendar out for a little while. And so we've got several great new series coming up. And I hope that you will enjoy them and I hope that you'll get something out of them. But I'm also always willing to hear your input and to give me new things to talk about. But this week we start a brand new worship series and podcast series. And it's called Fighting Fair. Learning to be a biblical leader in this contentious culture that we have. Part of being a biblical leader is knowing how to fight fair. Arguments are going to happen. Disagreements are going to happen. You're going to have them on your team. You're going to have them between you and your pastor and you and your church. Just like you have, arguments between you and your spouse, whoever that may be, or your friends. Your children, we all have disagreements. We all have arguments. We all have differences of opinion. But how we address those differences of opinion, how we learn to find common ground or how we learn to get past these disagreements is a huge part of what it means to be a biblical leader. And as I read, especially as I read social media, really any media these days, no matter how legitimate the source, whether it's just Jimmy on his couch making comments about something he saw online, or if it's the full-blown legitimate news outlets, one of the things that I see more and more often is a lack of, not only just a lack of civility, but a lack of the ability to argue, the lack of the ability to fight fair. We no longer fight fair in this society, if we ever did that much, but it seems like in the more public areas, the more public arenas, we used to fight fair, but we don't fight fair anymore in so many places. And I'll discuss what I mean by fighting fair. I see it in churches. As a consultant, I come in and I sit in meetings, and in these meetings, people aren't fighting fair. We can have disagreements and we can sit around a table and we can discuss them, but we don't know how to fight fair anymore. And so whenever you have an unfair fight, then you start fighting dirty, then everybody around the table starts fighting dirty and you end up with hurt feelings. You don't resolve any problems. Nothing gets solved. People walk away hurt. They walk away angry. Many people will leave the church or at worst, they'll leave the church and do damage on their way out, as much damage as they can because they've been hurt. So I thought it would be prudent to take some of the time that I have in these podcasts to talk about what it means to fight fair and fighting from a biblical perspective. How do we see people fight in the Bible? What can we learn from the way that Jesus tells us to love God first and then love and love others likewise? How can we apply that to how we fight? And so I'm going to give you several steps. We'll actually talk about this over the next several weeks and specifically 4 weeks. And I'm going to give you 4 specific steps to follow to be able to fight fair and not necessarily win every fight, but to feel like that you have you've accomplished your purpose, that your point of view has been heard, and that even if you don't win the fight, you win because the feelings, the hurt feelings aren't there, the damage hasn't been done. And in order to do that, it's very important that we learn some four basic rules on fair fighting. The fighting almost always happens around change. And one of the things that I was told early on in my ministry by a friend who is a pastor, he said, you know, you have to learn to get out of the rut without tearing up the yard. And it's when we don't fight fair that we start tearing up the yard. There's always some damage with change, but it doesn't have to be catastrophic damage. So I want to start the first podcast on this by giving you point number one. And point number one is probably the hardest point, but it's the most vital point, and that is listen first. Be the first to listen. So often when we have a disagreement or a conflict of opinion, we want to be the first ones. We want to lay our argument down first and then kind of throw the gauntlet down and say, okay, now beat that. But somebody has to listen first, and it goes a long way, in diffusing hurt feelings and diffusing potential, damage if you will be the one to listen first. I will tell you that because I'll admit I wasn't always that way. You know, I've been doing this for 27 years, and I'll be honest, when I first started, I was the firebrand, go-getter young guy, and I was going to change the world and change the church, and everybody was going to listen to me because I knew best. And then, of course, I found out that I didn't always know best, and that I had a lot to learn. But, you know, you can't tell a young person that a lot of times. And so, I had to learn to listen first. It didn't come easy, but I learned the power of listening first. And so I'm going to give you just a few examples of how my ministry changed because I listened first, and then I'm going to tell you a story. So one area I will tell you now that I don't pray the same as I used to pray because I listened first. Sure, I knew how to pray, but I had a congregation member come to me and talk to me about my prayer life and about how I pray and the words that I use in my prayer. And I took the time to sit down and listen, and not from a defensive posture, not from a I'm right and I'm just going to placate you and allow you to say whatever you have to say, but it's not going to make any difference to me. No, I set aside my defenses. I set aside my predispositions and my presuppositions, and I listened, genuinely listened to their heart about prayer and about what they heard in my prayers that concerned them. And I will tell you that I have never prayed the same since. I have always prayed differently. It literally changed my prayer life. Another time when I listened before speaking and before arguing my case, I don't pick music the same anymore. You know, there was a time, again, when I was young and I was just learning, and I thought I knew it all, and so I was going to pick all the songs based off of what I thought. And nobody could tell me anything. And I would listen to people, but I didn't listen. I wasn't actually hearing them. I was just, you know, kind of throwing them a bone. I would listen to them, but there was no way they were going to change my mind. But when I learned to listen first, when I learned to set aside my defenses and actually hear the heart and the background and the story of the person who was talking to me, I very quickly learned there was so much more to everything that I had ever supposed. And I started listening differently, and I started choosing music differently, again, because I took the time to listen to people who had different opinions than mine, people who saw worship differently than I did, who saw singing differently than I did. And I stopped and I listened. And if you want to know what a difference that can make, so in both cases, the persons that were involved in, I will just flat out say it, in teaching me a new way to think about prayer and a new way to think choosing music, I will be honest with you, their lives were changed because I listened to them. And I did not completely agree with everything that they said, but I listened, and because I listened, I made some adjustments to what I did. And as a result, their lives were changed because now all of a sudden they trusted me more. They knew that I was listening to them. They knew that I was taking them seriously, and it changed how I was able to relate to them. And so that's one of the stories that I want to share with you. This is a completely different situation. So I was, it's kind of a combination of the two. I was selecting music for a choir to sing for a special seasonal program. And I'm not going to be real specific here, and I'm not going to use a name because I don't want to call this person out, and I don't want to put them on the spotlight, but I was choosing music for a seasonal choir presentation, and it is a piece of music that I had used multiple times before. It's a classic piece of music. It's used all the time in churches all over the world. It's a piece of music that was written in the 1800s, and lots of people use it, and a lot of people know it. And so I felt very confident about picking this piece of music and confident in my point of view. I'd done it many times, but I had a choir member come up to me and say, "I'm not going to be able to sing it wasn't Christmas, but anyway, I'm not going to be able to sing at this event." And it really kind of stunned me because I was like, okay. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, great, you're going on vacation, or you're going to do this or that, or, you know, whatever. And they said, no, I really can't do that because I don't agree with some of the theology in the music that we're singing. And wow, that just stunned me. This is a timeless classic piece of music that people sing all the time, churches sing all the time. And for somebody to take issue with the theology in it, I was floored. And of course, you know, had somebody said that to me 10 years ago or 12, 15 years ago, I would have said, well, oh, too bad. I guess we won't see you. But like I said, I had learned the value of listening first. So before I launched into my argument for the piece of music, which was well rehearsed and I knew it. And I was certain I could change their mind. I knew that listening first was one of those things that I had to do. So I invited that person to coffee and we sat down and I listened to what they had to say. I listened to where their concerns were. And we pulled the music out and we went through it, and they pulled their Bible out and they went through their Bible and they showed me the parts where they had a problem with it. And then, you know, the problem was historical. It wasn't just theological. It wasn't just biblical. It was historical. And so they started talking to me about the role of this particular theology, it was an interpretation of Scripture, this particular interpretation and what it had done throughout history in the world. And while I did not agree with every single thing this person was saying, I took the time to read the articles that they shared with me. I took the time to follow their argument and hear what they had to say. And so as I did that, I started to understand where they were coming from. And it didn't change my mind. I still didn't think it was that big a deal, but then I had to ask myself, well, if it's not that big a deal, why am I making a big deal out of it? And so I took the time to sit down and really look at the music and say, okay, if we sing this part, is it rooted in the work? Is it somehow going to change the work? Is it somehow going to change? And the answer was no. It was, if we made some adjustments to it, it wasn't going to change the work. And actually, there were some ways that we could edit and adjust that would take this particular part out and make the whole thing go. And it would still be the same piece of music that everybody knew and loved. But it would accommodate a different point of view, and it would accommodate a different interpretation of Scripture. And, you know, I couldn't argue whether one was right or the other, because I mean, just as I had some, you know, really big theologians lined up on my side of the argument, this person had really big theologians lined up on their side of the argument. So, you know, in this case, in this interpretation, there was a reasonable argument to be made that, you know, one of us was right and the other one wasn't right, and there was no way really to come to a conclusion as to which one it was. So I took the time and made the decision to go ahead and make the change. And I want to tell you something. that changed everything in the relationship that I had with this parishioner, this choir member. We were on, you know, we were on two separate sides of just about every political issue. We couldn't have been on further apart. Many of the issues in the, that the church is dealing with, we were on separate sides. But on this occasion, we came together and we were able to work together and come to a solution that allowed me to continue with a piece of music that I thought was important, that I thought that was important for the church to sing, and that and that I thought was a legitimate choice, but yet at the same time meet this person in their area of concern, and it allowed them to continue to participate with the choir because they were firm in their beliefs and they were going to stand up and walk away. And I'm not saying that I did it to keep them from walking away, as much as I, because if I had firmly believed in this theology to the point where I thought it was seminal and that it would change, you know, change the gospel, then I certainly would not have made the change, and I would have, you know, we would have agreed to disagree and they would have left. But because we were able to come to a, an agreement, and I was able to make some sacrifices in order to, and it required some time on my part and some planning on my part, this person was able to continue to participate. No one else ever even really knew the difference. I had one or two people who asked me, and that gave us an opportunity to gave me an opportunity to discuss with them, and also gave this person who brought it to my attention a chance to discuss with some other people their points of view and their feelings. And overall, that turned into a relationship that still exists today. And when I launched my business, when I left full-time church ministry to go into full-time consulting ministry, this person who, again, if you put us on a if you put us in a political discussion, we would have never agreed on so many things, was the first person to step up and believe in me and the first person to show support in me as I stepped away. And that whole relationship was built on a disagreement where I was willing to listen first and not just shove my, try to shove my opinion down somebody's throat. And it, and by listening first, it allowed that person to not be defensive to the point of exclusion and saying that they were going to shove their opinion down my throat. They were willing to listen to my opinion and to hear my side of the argument. And so as a result, we were able to do something very powerful together. So the rule number one for fighting fair is be the one to listen first. Be that person. Someone has to listen first. Notice I didn't say you had to give in. Notice I didn't say you had to accommodate. Notice I didn't say you had to change your point of view. I just said, be the person to listen first. And that will go a long, long way toward fighting fair and being a biblical fighter to be willing to hear what someone else has to say, to meet that person where they are. You know, that's a fundamental of mission ministry, is meet people where they are. Don't expect them to come to you. You go to them and you meet them where they are, and then you minister to them where they are. So listen first, rule number one in fighting fair. We got three more rules to go. And so over the next 3 weeks, I hope that you'll join me and hear the other rules for fighting fair in a contentious culture. It's not something that's easy to do. It's something you have to learn and you have to be very disciplined about. This podcast was a little longer because of the introduction. We'll try to keep the rest of them inside our normal 15 minutes. Until then, I will talk to you next week and you will continue to be in my prayers. I pray for each of you every day, whether I know that you're listening or not. I pray for you and I pray for your ministries. And I pray that this podcast series will somehow touch your heart in a way that it helps your ministry to do, it helps you to do ministry better in a way that makes a difference in your church. So until next week, fight fair, listen first. God love you.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at purposedheartministries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.